It's taken 10 years, travel of 4 billion miles, but finally, the European Space Agency's Rosetta spacecraft has placed a lander on a comet, and it's a mission that's never been attempted before. That lander is known as Philae. It's successfully landed on Comet 67P. That's Churyumov-Gerasimenko for you enthusiasts out there. Here are the lead scientists speaking from the European Space Agency.
Okay, so we are there, and Philae is talking to us. First things he told us was that the harpoons have been fired, rewound, and the landing gear has been moved inside, so we are sitting on the surface. Philae is talking to us, more data to come and to be analyzed right now. The flywheel is going down, which it should do, of course. We are there, it's done its job. We are on the comet.
Philae will be able to take measurements and samples of the comet that scientists have never been able to get before. The research could answer key questions about the origin and evolution of our very own solar system, where the water on Earth came from, and maybe even clues about the origins of life here on Earth. Dr. Emily Rice is professor of astrophysics at the College of Staten Island and a researcher at the American Museum of Natural History here in New York. Like so many of her colleagues, she's been watching today with bated breath. We spoke to her just hours before Philae made its landing.
For scientists, it's huge. Just the technological achievements alone, even if we don't get any data, just to show that we can go to a comet, that we can orbit around it, that we can put a lander on the surface. There are so many firsts in this mission that haven't been done before. Even if we don't get any more data, we still have phenomenal, very, very close-up pictures of a comet. And then there's 21 instruments on this spacecraft that have all been working. Even after 10 years in orbit, 2 years in hibernation, it's absolutely huge for all of those teams that put these instruments together, because hopefully this will provide technology developments for future missions doing even more amazing things.
Now, it was one thing to get Rosetta to the comet, obviously a long trip, and then a series of orbits, rotations, and some astronomical gymnastics to get it going just the same speed as this tumbling block of ice.
Mm-hmm. It passed by Mars once. It passed by Earth three times. It's been 10 years on the way. But putting a lander on a comet is even, you know, we've orbited things before. We've sent things out of the solar system. We've put things in orbit around Mercury, around Mars, around Saturn. But landing on an astronomical body is even trickier, and so that's going to be really exciting.
Can you explain a little bit about what it takes? I mean, it's one thing to imagine matching the flight of a baseball with another baseball and throwing it so that they travel just next to each other perfectly. I can imagine that. It's another thing to match it so perfectly that a flea could easily move from one baseball to the other mid-flight as though he was just walking downstairs.
That's a really great analogy for what this is. The speeds are absolutely enormous. The speeds are something like 15 kilometers per second, or over 30,000 miles per hour, that the comet and the spacecraft are moving at right now. But the differential speed between them is tiny. It's something less than a meter per second. And so this is really, the spacecraft is really at a leisurely pace relative to the comet.
Now, comets are not smooth surfaces by definition, almost. Everyone, if you haven't seen the pictures online, they're getting better and better every
oh,
day,
yeah.
By the way, the high-definition pictures of the surface of the comet. Functionally, though, it's not a great place to try to touch down gently.
Nope. And unfortunately, you know, we couldn't choose the comet by its shape initially. We just had to choose it based on its location at first. So
they didn't even know the shape of this comet. Shape kind of like a big rubber duck.
Yeah.
And really irregular.
Yeah, it's very, very irregular. Some of the other comets that have been imaged, Lutetia, Comet Wild, are a little bit more round, a little bit more smooth. This one's what's called a contact binary. It might have even been two objects at one point that got stuck together. There's a very narrow neck between two larger bulges of the comet. And so that's, you know, that was kind of unexpected.
Now, the dynamics of the landing itself. Now, comet's not very big. What, about 2.5 miles, right,
mm-hmm.
in length?
You could just sit it on top of Manhattan.
Okay, so, right, which means in astronomical terms, it doesn't have a great deal of gravity. If you run a probe into that, it's really just going to bounce off. So how do you stick to something that doesn't have a whole great deal of gravity?
Yeah, it's a different problem depending on where you're going. Sometimes you want to try to not crash land on something. In this case, they want to make sure the lander sticks. And so there's a bunch of different methods to make sure the lander can actually stick and the instruments can then work into the surface. There are three legs on the lander that each have ice screws at the bottom. And so as soon as those make contact, the screws are going to go into the surface. But we don't even know really what the exact surface properties are, and so we don't know how well the lander, the ice screws are going to stick. There's also harpoons that are going to come down from the middle of the lander. And then there's a reverse thruster to give a little bit more push against the surface.
Taking samples of this big rotating ice ball from outer space, what can we really learn?
Oh, we're going to learn a huge amount. The instruments are going to take direct samples from the comet. That's never been done before. And so we're going to be able to directly get compositions, isotope ratios for things like water. The deuterium to hydrogen ratio is actually a big deal for the formation of solar systems and for where the water came from in the solar systems. Basically, how much heavy hydrogen is in the water. It's a very, very small amount, but how much there is sensitive to where the water formed.
Do we not know really where all of this water on this water planet that we live on came from?
Yeah, we don't know.
We don't know where it came from.
We don't know where all of it came from.
It didn't form here, in other words.
Yeah. It didn't. I mean, Venus doesn't have this water. Mars doesn't have this water. They're very, very close.
So Rosetta is landing a probe on top of sort of the giant ball of raw ingredients from the solar system, not the processed food that we live on.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's very exciting. I hope you enjoy this day. I hope everybody who likes to follow interplanetary science and astrophysics really has a great time today.
It should be a great day. Thank you.
Dr. Emily Rice, professor of astrophysics at the College of Staten Island and researcher at the American Museum of Natural History.